Man's long search for habitable planets in this galaxy was over. The explorer craft USS Palomino came about and headed for home. Instead of life, it had encountered only the cold vastness of space. Aboard the Palomino, Captain Dan Holland and his weary crew prepared for their long journey back to Earth. Vincent, the ship's all-purpose robot, worked silently at the control console when an ominous and frightening image began to focus on the scanner screen. He quickly alerted the captain and first officer, Charlie Pizer.
Mr. Pizer, I think you should come up here.
What's up, Vincent?
The largest black hole I have ever encountered, Mr. Pizer.
Let's have a look at it on the holograph.
Vincent pushed a button and a swirling three-dimensional image lit up over the console. The remaining crew members, Dr. Alex Durant, Dr. Kate McCrae, and reporter Harry Booth, watched in awe.
Right out of Dante's Inferno.
Yes, the most destructive force in the universe, Harry. Nothing can escape it, not even light.
I had a professor who predicted that eventually black holes would devour the entire universe.
Why not? When you can see giant suns sucked in and disappear without a trace. Give us some magnification, Vincent.
Yes, sir.
It's a monster, all right.
A rip in the very fabric of space and time. But I picked up something else of interest.
Let's see it.
It hasn't moved since I first picked it up. It seems to be some kind of ship.
But how could anybody be out here ahead of us?
Enlarge again, Vincent, and let's try to identify it.
United States, Space Probe 1.
That's it.
USS Cygnus.
USS Cygnus. Its mission to discover habitable life in outer space. Same as ours.
Signal that ship, Vincent.
They were recalled to Earth 20 years ago. Their mission considered a failure.
How that must have galled Dr. Hans Reinhardt. Reinhardt had the knack of making his own ambition seem like a matter of national pride. Why, he talked the Space Appropriations Committee into the costliest fiasco of all time and refused to admit failure. Ignored his recall.
Maybe not. Maybe it never got through.
That ship just disappeared. They've never been seen again.
Dan, get us in close enough. Vincent and I could get aboard on tethers.
To quote Cicero, rashness is the characteristic of youth, prudence that of mellowed age, and discretion the better part of valor.
No sense leaving the story of a lifetime untold, Captain.
I believe there is, Harry. And it's looking straight at us.
I don't mind telling you, I'm a little concerned. Some of my brother robots were assigned to Project Black Hole, programmed to send ESP messages back from space probes. Oh, a grand experiment, the scientists thought.
Also ancient history, Vincent.
Not to me, Mr. Booth. Not this close. The heat in there melts types like me rather quickly.
Picking up anything on the sensors, Charlie?
Negative. But with all that turbulence out there,
our signal might not be getting through.
According to my instruments, it hasn't moved a centimeter since we first spotted it.
But Alex, how can a lifeless derelict defy that kind of gravity?
I don't know, but it's certainly worth investigating.
My instincts are against it, Alex. But we'll go in for a closer look. Fix your coordinate approach, Charlie. Full power on the thrusters, Vincent.
Strap yourselves in. We'll be feeling the gravitational force right now.
She's bucking like a Bronco.
Gravity pull. 0.02450 and rising.
Captain, I'm not sure how long the engines will remain operable against that much force when we turn back.
Alex, gravity's close to maximum. We can afford one pass and then we're going to have to get out.
Zero gravity.
Smooth as glass.
It's like being in the eye of a hurricane. What happened?
Natural phenomenon. Or something from that ship. Activating the microbeam. Picking up anything, Charlie?
Negative, Alex. No way our signals can't get through this time.
Reverse thrusters and look for a place to set down.
Despite the fierce power of the black hole, the Palomino was able to maneuver unmolested within the Cygnus's calm surrounding atmosphere. Then, without warning, the darkened ghost ship sprang to life in a blaze of lights.
What's going on? That's what I'd like to know.
Locking warheads into firing positions.
Hold it, Dan. They've got to be friendly. They could have blasted us right out of the sky.
You got a picture down there?
There are people on board.
Just a shadow, kid.
Enlarge, please. There are people, Alex. I know it. I feel it.
Docking elevator coming up. Wonder why they didn't roll out the red carpet earlier.
I don't know, and I don't like it.
Captain Holland set the Palomino down on Cygnus' docking elevator. The crew stepped through the connecting airlock and into the Cygnus. They found themselves in a brightly lit corridor, but still no one appeared to greet them.
Looks like we'll have to go to them.
This place looks as if it hadn't been used for years.
It's eerie. I feel like 1,000 eyes are watching us.
My senses have me on red alert, Captain.
Vincent and Captain Holland led the Palomino crew into the abandoned main corridor of the vast silent ship. A door slid open in a cylindrical tunnel where a high-speed air car awaited them. Obviously being maneuvered by some unseen force, the crew stepped into the air car and allowed themselves to be whisked away. The car traveled down the entire length of the Cygnus, but still Vincent could catch no signs of human life.
I don't like it when somebody else pulls the strings, Captain.
Neither do I, Vincent. But who's ever up in that control tower is calling the shots right now.
Whoever or whatever, Captain.
At the end of the tunnel, the crew was greeted by a waiting elevator, which took them to the top of the ship. The doors parted to reveal a massive domed observatory, studded with lights and computers. Telescopes scanned the darkened sky, while astroscreens continuously monitored the looming black hole. Mysterious silhouetted figures silently operated the huge banks of computers.
Incredible. It ought to be. Sure costs the taxpayers enough.
Hello?
They appear to be some sort of robot, Dr. Kate.
Kate?
Yes?
There's someone else with us. Don't move.
From an overhead command console, a huge shape hovered above the crew. A mechanical monster, the image of immense power, moved threateningly toward the group. A red light pulsed from the robot's sight panel, as if it were an angry warning.
Identify yourself. What is your type and model?
This is the story to end all stories, Harry. A ship of robots and computers with this thing in charge?
Not quite, Dr. Durant. Maximilian and my robots only run this ship the way I wish it run.
How do you know my name?
You were monitored ever since our sensors first detected you.
From deep in the shadows of the command center, a bearded figure stepped into the light.
Welcome aboard the Cygnus.
Hans Reinhardt. It can't be.
You always did have a flair for theatrical entrances, Doctor. What happened when your mission was recalled?
The Cygnus encountered a field of meteorites and was disabled. Our main and auxiliary communication systems smashed. We were adrift. I told the crew to abandon ship, to return home as ordered. Perhaps it was another of what you term my theatrical gestures, Mr. Booth, but I chose to remain aboard.
You've lived out here for 20 years? Alone?
20 years? 20 Earth years, but I didn't live exactly alone. I've created companions of a sort. They look a bit medieval, but I'm a romantic.
We won't impose on your hospitality, Doctor.
We can offer you the means of returning to Earth.
What makes you think I want to return?
The Cygnus is in danger of being destroyed here.
Yes, your captain was worried about that too. But there's no cause for alarm. We developed anti-gravity forces to maintain our position.
Doctor, this ship doesn't appear to be crippled.
Of course not. We repaired the damage and became operable again.
But you never obeyed the order to return to Earth.
That's right. I refused this order. There were larger considerations. Other worlds yet to be explored. Life dreams unrealized.
The authorities would still consider that an act of piracy, Doctor.
What would you have said, Mr. Booth, if the authorities would have called back Columbus just before he discovered the New World? You wouldn't even exist. I'm about to prove to you that the end justifies the means. I'm on the brink of a great achievement. Come with me and I'll show you everything.
While the Palomino crew toured the Cygnus, Harry Booth set off to explore the immense ship on his own. In the agricultural station, he came upon a single hooded robot working silently at a lighted control panel, completely oblivious of the reporter's presence.
Quite a layout. I said it's quite a layout you got here. Can you speak? Are you programmed to speak?
No, I guess not. No, I guess that'd make you a little bit too real, wouldn't it?
Abruptly, the robot turned away from its post and walked off, much to Booth's amazement, with a very pronounced limp. In the meantime, Captain Holland had headed back to the Palomino to prepare for the remainder of the flight home. On his way, Captain Holland found himself in a huge cathedral-like chamber where a group of robots gently placed a still-covered form into a tube-like canister. As Holland watched, the robot stepped back in unison, and the canister fired the figure out into space, where it was picked up by the intense gravitational pull. It rushed off like a missile, straight into the furnace of the black hole. Slowly and silently, the faceless robots returned to their duties. That evening, the Palomino crew joined Dr. Reinhardt for dinner.
A toast to you and your companions, Dr. Durant, on the occasion of your visit to the Cygnus, the only Earth people to know of my existence. Tonight, my friends, we stand on the brink of a feat unparalleled in space exploration. If the data on my returning probe ship matches my computerized calculations, I will travel where no man has dared to go.
Into the black hole?
In, through, and beyond.
Why, that's crazy!
Ha!
Impossible!
The word impossible, Mr. Booth, is only found in the dictionary of fools.
Your probe ship has only gone to the event horizon, Doctor, not into the black hole itself. How do you expect the Cygnus to escape being crushed by the force in there?
I would assume that Dr. Reinhardt has created an anti-gravitational force field capable of withstanding that stress.
Indeed, and I know you will say, Captain, that one mistake in navigation can be fatal. But I know exactly what I'm doing. The course I have chosen will take the Cygnus through at its optimum angle of rotation. The vortex will cause us to move at incredible speed. And that angle will slingshot us through.
So, as I understand it, you want the Palomino to monitor your journey.
That's right. I need you. To go to another place and another time. A place where I have the possibility to find what we call the ultimate knowledge. The probe ship is about to dock. Continue your meal, gentlemen.
Cuckoo is a Swiss clock.
What does your intuition tell you, Kate?
That Dr. Reinhardt is walking a tightrope between genius and insanity.
I think the guy's nuts.
I don't buy that. Look, granted that 20 years out of contact with people has made this man a little eccentric.
Tell him about the funeral, Dan.
I don't know what they shot out into space, but they did it with all the reverence and honor of a human funeral.
But you can't ask me to believe that he's programmed his robots to feel emotions? Come on.
I know what I saw, Alex. And we only have Reinhardt's word for what happened to his crew.
All I know is that that robot gardener was almost human, too. Even walked with a limp.
What spooks you about a malfunctioning robot, Harry?
I wasn't spooked, old buddy. I'm just telling you that I had a gut feeling that I was looking at some kind of person.
What are you getting at?
That we make our apologies, say our goodbyes, and get off this ship as quick as we can.
While the Palomino crew finished dinner, Vincent joined other off-duty robots in the recreational arcade. There he met a battered robot named Old Bob, who was the same model as himself. Old Bob was being bullied by a sleek black robot named Star. Vincent dealt Star a stinging defeat in a sharpshooting laser game, thus eliminating old Bob's tormentor and gaining the old robot's confidence.
My name's Bob, Biosanitation Battalion.
Vincent, vital information necessary centralized. Are there any more like us left on board?
I'm the last one. These upstarts think I'm some old freak.
They still haven't improved on our model. Oh, you can't modify perfection. We're the best.
I couldn't talk freely before, but I have a whole lot to tell you. If Maximilian knew you were here, it'd be the end for the both of us. Vincent, you and your friends are in grave danger. Reinhardt only turned the lights on to prevent any damage to the Cygnus. This is a death ship. These poor creatures are what's left of the crew, kept alive by means I don't pretend to understand. We're more robot than human. Let's get out of here before we're discovered.
Vincent and old Bob dashed to the Palomino. From there, Vincent transmitted an urgent ESP message to Kate.
Dan, Vincent wants you aboard the Palomino right away.
Let's go, Charlie.
I think I'll tag along.
Reinhardt will solve the one final mystery that has eluded mankind.
Or he'll die in the attempt. Alex, I'm beginning to feel you want to go with him.
On a glorious pilgrimage, straight into what may be the mind of God. I do.
Where are the others?
They were recalled to the ship.
Recalled? Where was your communication? Ah, the ESP you share with the robot. Extraordinary.
Back on the Palomino, the pieces of a frightening puzzle began to fall into place as old Bob told the captain about Dr. Reinhardt's evil secret.
That explains the funeral.
Right.
And the limping robot you spotted.
Do you mean to tell me that there's actually a human body under that clothing?
Exactly, Mr. Booth. They tried to take control of the Cygnus when Dr. Reinhardt ignored the orders to return home. Reinhardt called it mutiny, and they were captured by the sentry robots and are still on board. The most valuable thing in the universe, intelligent life, means nothing to Dr. Reinhardt. Without their wills, the crew became things he could command.
Charlie, start the countdown.
Right.
Vincent, tell Kate I want her and Alex back here on the double.
Kate and Dr. Durant had left the dining room and joined Dr. Reinhardt in the Cygnus's control tower.
Fix navigational course.
You have achieved all this on your own, Dr. Reinhardt. And you would have every right to reject the request of a comparative stranger, but...
What are you hoping for, Alex? Immortality?
No. Scientific truth.
Alex, we have to board right away. They're waiting to blast off.
Prepare reactors!
Alex, I will not have you throwing your life away for this.
He can do it. I know he can. There's an entirely different world beyond that black hole. A point where time and space, as we understand it, no longer exists.
Reactors, on!
He's going to do it. He's really going to do it. He'll kill us all if you don't get us out of here now, Holland.
He wants us out there to monitor his flight. We still have time.
If we wait for Alex, we may be too late. Don't you see? He's hypnotized by that man.
Vincent, tell Kate we want her back here fast, with or without Alex. Tell her why.
Alex.
R squared.
Alex, could I have a word with you?
A squared, sine squared.
Do you remember what we were talking about the other day? We've got to get out of here.
I'm staying.
Shh. Reinhardt is a murderer.
What?
Yes. Those creatures, those are robots. They're humanoids. They're what's left of the original crew.
What's wrong, Miss Kate?
You look ill.
Kate's upset because I've elected to stay with the Cygnus.
I hope she's electing also to stay with us.
No, I...
What changed your mind?
I'm not. I will not transmit messages for them.
Dr. Durant moved to one of the silent robots and cautiously removed its reflective face mask. The empty, lifeless eyes of a Cygnus crew member stared back at him.
What are you doing?
Come on, Kate, let's get you out of here.
As Dr. Durant escorted Kate toward the elevator, Maximilian advanced toward them. At the end of his outstretched arms, whirled knife-sharp blades. Dr. Durant was cut down in an instant.
Alex!
shouldn't have done that. He was a good man.
If there's any justice at all, the black hole will be your grave.
Take the young lady to the hospital.
You're cleared for takeoff, Captain. Dr. Durant and Dr. McRae chose to remain aboard.
I told you. Alex bought Reinhardt's theory hook, line, and sinker.
Dr. Durant is dead. Maximilian killed him. They're taking Dr. Kate to the hospital.
Vincent, get old Bob to show us the quickest way there. We may have just enough time. Don't wait too long. Get off before the gravity pull is too strong. No matter what.
Look, Dan, what if...
No matter what, Charlie.
Captain Holland raced aboard the Cygnus with old Bob and Vincent close behind. They reached the hospital just as Kate was being put through Dr. Reinhardt's mind control process.
Hang on, Kate.
Captain Holland grappled with the sentry guard as Vincent and old Bob methodically destroyed Reinhardt's dreadful machinery with laser blasts.
We got you.
Hurry.
We got you.
Hurry.
It's all right.
Charlie, Kate's okay. We're on our way.
Well, it's about time. How close can we cut it?
In the Cygnus control tower, Dr. Reinhardt monitored the crew's escape from the hospital. He turned to Maximilian.
The time has come to liquidate our guests. Tell the sentries to fire on any human between medical and Palomino.
As old Bob led them back to the Palomino, they were ambushed by a line of sentry robots on an overhead bridge.
All right, Vincent, let's make this one an end run. We'll catch them in a crossfire.
We'll hit them from 5 o'clock high. Take the 9-pin, Bob. I got him!
Way to go, old Bob!
The first fighting I've done in 30 years. I only wish it'd been Reinhardt and Maximilian out there.
Maximilian! Your crack unit outwitted and outfought by some Earth robot and that antique from storage. Fire thrusters.
Charlie, do you read me?
Loud and clear, Dan.
Man the controls, both area at the hatch and give us exactly 60 seconds.
Where are you?
Side corridor, near reception. They got us pinned down, but
Dan.
Start counting, Charlie. Charlie, reversing last order. Take her up now. Repeat, lift off.
Ignoring the order, Charlie Pizer jumped to his feet and ran back aboard the Cygnus, a laser in each fist. He soon found his friends.
Yeah!
Way to go, Charlie! Yeah!
Now free, Charlie and the crew dashed back toward the safety of their ship. But when they reached the connecting airlock, they found the Palomino was blasting off. Harry Booth, fearing for his life, had taken off without them.
What's that idiot trying to do? Harry!
From the Cygnus control tower, Dr. Reinhardt watched Harry Booth's erratic escape.
Lower the pop before it hits us! Fire!
I should have known he was all talk, no guts, and locked him up.
You may have done us a favor, Charlie. At least we're alive.
I'm sure that's not what he had in mind. He was trying to save his own skin.
There is an alternative.
The probe ship. Vincent, you're a genius.
We'll have to try the main corridor.
Old Bob led the Palomino crew toward the probe ship. Then, without warning, a series of explosions rocked the mighty ship.
A meteorite struck the ship, Captain. A whole storm of them, Captain. The black hole was dragging them in, too.
The Palomino crew continued their journey across the battered cities. As they crossed a narrow bridge, a massive meteor ripped through the mile-long hallway and came crashing right toward them.
It's moving, Bob! It's the granddaddy of them all!
Let's go!
Still pursued by the relentless sentries, the crew took refuge in Dr. Reinhardt's agricultural station. But the roof, now weakened by meteorite damage, finally ripped apart. Cyclone winds and sub-freezing temperatures whirled through the garden as the giant room decompressed. Plants and vegetables became airborne missiles. Covered with frost, The crew fought their way through the raging storm and managed to pry open the frozen airlock. One by one, the near-frozen humans rushed into the warmth of the ship's corridors.
We've got to keep moving!
He's frozen. Help me warm him.
Now the badly damaged Cygnus pitched and rolled as it was caught up in the black hole's powerful grip. Undaunted, Dr. Reinhardt remained at the controls.
Increase power to maximum. We are going through.
Just then, one of the massive astro screens broke loose from its moorings and crashed down, trapping Dr. Reinhardt.
Maximilian, help me! Listen to me! Help! Listen, somebody!
But the mindless humanoids continued their tasks, oblivious to Reinhardt's pleas. Just as the Palomino crew came in sight of the probe ship, Maximilian blocked their path. His lasers fired, and old Bob crashed to the floor. Vincent rushed the giant robot and pinned him against the wall. Holland and the others ran past and boarded the globe. Maximilian grabbed the tiny robot and was about to crush him when a small door in Vincent's side opened, revealing a sharp cutting tube. As the tube tore into Maximilian's midsection, his circuitry began to smoke and spark. Vincent turned to help Bob.
Come on now, Bob. We have to go.
No, I can't make it. My hover stabilization's gone. My main circuit's blown. And both backups are failing.
You can make it.
It's no use, Vincent. My useful days are finished. But part of me goes with you. You'll never be obsolete. Carry on the tradition. We're the best.
Vincent boarded the probe ship just as its thrusters came to life.
We better get off! The whole ship's breaking up!
Everybody sit tight! Hang on! Lift off!
The tiny craft arched away from the doomed Cygnus. The crew watched as Reinhardt's crippled ship was twisted and crushed by the unbearable force of the black hole. And finally, the wreckage disappeared headlong into the dark tunnel.
Gravity force field is on.
Control's not responding.
Captain, the ship has been programmed.
To Reinhardt's course.
You mean we're going into the black hole?
Yep.
Let's pray he was a genius.
Unable to overcome the intense gravity, the probe ship was also drawn into the whirlpool. Faster and faster it rushed down the dreadful abyss, accelerating beyond the boundaries of human imagination. Finally, at the speed of light, amid the overwhelming blur of lights and images, a strange sensation of weightlessness and timelessness settled upon the crew. The physical world merged with the mental, and the voyagers found themselves traveling through their own deepest thoughts. Dark images of despair and desolation would suddenly give way to blinding flashes of hope and revelation. Their journey of the mind took them to the very roots of time. Then it was over. The probe ship had come through the black hole. Kate looked through the viewport to see a shining array of stars. Was this their own galaxy? Was it even their own time? There were no answers. They sat serenely, knowing they had faced the most incredible ordeal of space and had survived. They had proved that man was not just an insignificant speck, but something special, like a delicate flower in a cosmic desert, a piece of the universe, a part of creation.